Seven Blessings of God.
From the beginning of time, man has desired the favor and the blessings of God. And for long centuries prior to the, or following the giving of the promise to Father Abraham, and the declaration by Moses that a Messiah was promised, Israel had been waiting for the blessings that would come to them as a nation as a result of that great deliverer that had been promised in those prophecies so long before. And at that time, all men were in expectation of him because of those prophecies. They were looking for this great deliverer from the Roman bondage. And in the days of our Lord, on the side of a mountain, as while he sat there with his disciples, you remember that he told them of blessings that would be conferred upon those who would represent him in the earth. And these, are mentioned for us in the fifth chapter of Matthew, called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that mourn. Yes. And then, following his ignominious death on the cross, and after his resurrection from the dead, he again visited them, and they were still looking for blessings. And they said, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They yearned for the fulfillment of the blessings that would come as a result of their Messiah. And the disciples had been waiting, and they've been praying ever since for these blessings all down through the gospel age. And now in these last days, as a result of his presence, we are privileged to know of some of the blessings that shall come to the world of mankind as a result of that wonderful kingdom for which we have all prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." And with the enlightening of the Holy Spirit on our minds, we have received many blessings from the Heavenly Father. And it reminds me of a small incident in the lives of Isaac. Remember when Eliezer went to find a bride for Isaac? Eliezer, picturing, of course, the Holy Spirit, went to find this bride, and, of course, he saw Rebecca there by the well, as you all remember the picture. And when Eliezer met Rebecca, remember what he did? The servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebecca. That was a wonderful thing, wasn't it? Jewels of silver, of the truth. And jewels of gold. Those promises whereby, and as we see the picture, whereby we might become partakers of the divine nature. And then he also gave her raiment. But there's one other little thing that appreciated very much in that little lesson, is that not only she got these things, but some of her household. Yes, those that with whom she lived said that he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Precious things. They too received the knowledge of the truth. They may not have appreciated it, like Rebecca, but it was precious to them. And how wonderful it is for us to realize that even some in our own family, if they never receive the jewels of silver and the jewels of gold and the white raiment, they still receive precious things. And so it is that truly all those who have complied with the terms of discipleship and have come into a covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father have been blessed with a peace that the world does not possess. And if one of those things is the blessing of receiving the white raiment. And what is the white raiment? It's our justification. Yes, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a robe of justification. We have the peace of God. And what is that peace? You look that up in the original, and the word peace is reconciliation. We have come into a reconciliation or justification with God. And yet there's another set of beatitudes or blessing which come to those who are living at this time of the end. And these are the seven blessings or the seven beatitudes of the book of Revelation. And this is given to us as mysteries of God as they are revealed to us. And as we look at this book, we might say that it's a book which might be called the sum of all the prophecies. And if you look at the title of the book, I think that our King James says it's the revelation of St. John Divine. But so often we say it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, it really isn't the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Gilbert mentioned something last night, and I don't know whether all of you got the point when he quoted this scripture, but we talk about speaking of the creation. We speak of the fall of Adam. We speak of restitution. We're speaking about those things, aren't we? And so it is that we find that this is the revelation about Jesus Christ. And where did it come from? It came from God. This whole book was a book not given by Jesus Christ, but it was about him and about the experiences that he would have, and also about those things which would be revealed as the historical nature of what would occur after his glorification. Yes, it was the revelation about Jesus Christ in the first verse, which God gave to him. God gave Jesus this revelation. And which God, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he, Jesus, sent and signified it by signs by his angel unto his servant John. And so here it was, God given to Jesus, who gave it to the angel, who gave it to John, who gave it to us. Yes, a wonderful thing to think that this book is the words of God about our Lord Jesus and about the church and about the history since his resurrection. Yes, but who this angel is not really said, this angel that was it was given to by our Lord Jesus Christ, except that in the 22nd chapter in the 16th verse it says that I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And then he tells them what it's about. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Well, now, to know that this book is about Jesus Christ, all we need to do is read many of the scriptures, and he's saying what he is to do. We won't have time to read many of those scriptures, but if you read chapter 1 and 2, and then the 12th verse, and 2:1 and 2:26 and 8, just as an illustration. But it's evident that this angel was a being of an exalted rank and dignity. It is evident from the fact that when his mission in respect to John had been completed, says John fell down and worshiped before him. In 22:8-9, we read, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God." The word "of" there should be, according to the diglot, "with." "I am with thy brethren, the prophets, and with them that keep the sayings of this book." And who are these servants? Well, the apostle Peter, James, John, they all call themselves servants. And the apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, in the 22nd verse, tells us, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." And so, as the apostles were servants of God, he tells us to also be servants of God. This book that was given to us by God himself, through our Lord, through the angel, through John, is unlike so many of the other books in the New Testament, and so difficult to understand that sometimes we are disposed to turn away from it. It's just too much for me to understand, and no sense in even reading it. But we must remember that this was God's word to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the first blessings that we read coming from God is in the first chapter and the third verse. I can find Revelation. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." From this we see that the blessings to be received is a striking feature of the book, and we should give careful attention to it. The blessing is also that they should keep the things that are written therein. This word "keep" signifies to guard, as by having one's eye upon the thing that's to be kept, or to hold fast to it. Another word I like in the diglot is to observe the things that are written therein. And his servants have been and are encouraged to read the things that are written. And why? Because he says, "For the time is at hand." Remember what was told by Daniel, the prophet, back there? He said, "Seal up the book. Seal up the words." It wasn't to be understood. But John was told to open the book. Well, he opened it. He wasn't able to read it. But the angel and our Lord, he opened it, didn't he? Opened the seals thereof. And so, as the seals were opened, many of the visions that were then given are now opened for us. Why? Yes, for the time is at hand. What might be the nature of the promised blessings is not really stated, but we understand in general that the book deals with the experiences of our risen Lord. It deals with the history and the experiences of both the true and the counterfeit church. and the experiences which he says were to shortly come to pass. At that time, the mystery of iniquity was already working, and little was to be understood, however, until it was the time of the end. True, this serves to identify the Antichrist, but the dispensational truths were shut up. They were sealed until now. But what is the knowledge that has been sealed until now? Well, it's the mystery of the church, that Christ is not one, but many members. And we know also the promises that are given to those who are faithful in the second and the third chapters. We see also the character of God. All down through the ages, the character of God has not been known. He's been one of torment for the wicked, heavenly bliss for the righteous. But we see the true attributes of God all perfectly blended together in the throne scene of the fourth chapter. And then in the fifth chapter, we see the redemption through the sacrifice of the slain Lamb of God. And then going down to the 13th chapter, we see how fallen man in his best efforts has produced an unholy city, this mystic Babylon, and with its downfall, of course, will come the wonderful kingdom of God. Now, because the time is at hand, we see that Satan is soon to be bound. He that is deceiving the nations will be bound, that he will deceive them no more. And we know what it means to be beheaded for the word of God. By faith we see the millennial throne and the wonderful judgment day, a day wherein all shall learn righteousness. We see also this river of life and the blessings that are soon to come to all mankind as a result of that river flowing from the throne of God. These are some of the blessings, the features that we know of by observing and by reading the prophecies of this book. It's a blessing and a comfort that can come only from the Lord himself. Yes, and it's through his appointed representatives. What a wonderful thing it is to read and to hear and observe these prophecies. The second dispensational blessing we find is in the 14th chapter, and this is a wonderful blessing too that we receive in the 13th verse. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, how blessed it is to die in the Lord. There was a text used last evening, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The only time the death is ever called precious, but it's to die in the Lord. The word blessed means happy. And if we can ever be happy with death, it's something else. But if you know these things, happy are ye. It's the same word. If you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. Being baptized into his death. Yes, if we be dead with him, happy are we because we know that we shall live with him. And the psalmist in the 82nd Psalm gives a wonderful lesson for us. Psalms 82, 6 and 7. Where we read, I have said, ye are God, your mighty ones, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men, and all like one, and fall like one of the princes. Yes, you'll all die like men, but you're going to fall like one of the princes. What does that mean? Well, there's a nice thought on that. This word fall is the key. Sometimes we think that we're all going to die like Adam and we're going to fall like Prince Jesus if we're faithful. But what does the text really mean? Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. He's talking about a period of judgment. And so when we read this word fall, if we look that up in Strong's, the word means to be judged. We're all going to die like men, and we're going to be judged like one of the princes. And how are we going to be judged? Are we going to be judged like the Prince of Peace? Or are we going to be judged like the prince of this world? Are we going to be judged as Messiah, the prince, or as Beelzebub, the prince of devils? I think what the psalmist is saying here is an exhortation. It's really a warning to us that we're going to be judged. But how will it be? We're all going to die like Father Adam, but let us pray that we will be judged like our prince and Messiah. Prince Jesus. Paul didn't expect to receive his reward immediately at death. Blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. No, Paul realized that it was going to be a time before he was resurrected. He knew that he was going to die and remain in death. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in the 7th verse, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth. Well, that word henceforth really means finally, or it remains. Finally, he says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. When? In that day. At that day, and not to me only, but all to them, all them that love his appearing. Yes, in that day, they're going to receive this reward, this crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give them. And so it is that even Paul in Thessalonians, it's a text that we often use, when he says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then after that, after what? After the trump is sounded, after the Lord has returned, he says after that, the word is then, but if you look this up in the Strong's, you'll find that in many places in Corinthians 15, it says after that. Same word. After that the Lord has returned, after the trump is sound, after that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. After the trump sounds, after the voice of the archangel has sounded. So it is. Yes, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. They're going to rest until after that, until that day comes, resting from their labors in death. But what are these deeds that they rest from? Well, going back to the previous verses in the 14th chapter, reading the 4th verse, these are they which were not defiled with that woman, talking about the old Babylonian system, For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Part of the deeds that they had done. They were faithful to their Creator. And then in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault. Wonderful deed to think of, isn't it? And then he warns against worshiping the beast in the 9th and 10th verses. And in the 12th verse he says, here is the patience of saints, they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The word keep is again observe. They that observe the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. With joy these proclaim the work that the Holy Spirit commissioned them to do. Isaiah the 61st chapter. Yes, he has commissioned us to bind up the brokenhearted. It's all part of the work of the church, isn't it? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. Part of the work that follows them. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison that are bound. These are things that we also are anointed to do. Part of the works of those who die in the Lord. Yes, and when the saints have finished their course, their works will follow them, and they shall receive the crown of life that fadeth not away. Then the third blessing is in the 16th chapter and the 15th verse. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. When the disciples asked the Lord regarding the signs of his second presence, he explained that no man would know the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But he did admonish them to watch. And this the faithful ones did. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the 42nd verse, he says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour or what day. The word day is in the dialogue. You know not what day your Lord doth come. And then in Revelation, going back again to the third chapter and the third verse, he says, remembering therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. It's only those who are faithfully watching at the end of the age that are blessed to know when the bridegroom is present. As a thief to the world, but also as a chief reaper to the harvest. Yes, these know that he's come to reckon with his servants. And they keep their garments unspotted from the world, closely girded about them. And failing to watch, they're left in darkness. And certainly, darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. But instead of being protected, they become exposed to the errors and the binding influence of Satan. And they are led, or may be led, into outer darkness. Truly, blessed is he that watcheth. The Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, in the 4th chapter, in the 7th verse, says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The grace of God, that which comes to those who are the servants of God, who are sons of God. Yes, and though we may be called sons of God, as the apostle says there in Corinthians, we are also to serve him as servants. Let him who is chief among you be servant of all. And this was our Lord's attitude, and it should also be ours. In Revelation, the 19th chapter and the 9th verse, we're presented with the fourth truth blessing, Revelation 19:9. Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. This is a rich blessing for those who are watchers. As a rule, there was generally two wedding suppers. One preceded the wedding and another after the wedding. And so it is that this feast may be enjoyed even now by those who are watching. In Luke, the 12th chapter and the 32nd verse, we read, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And in 35 he says, let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. And when he will return for the wedding, word should be for, when he returns for the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. This is a feast that's enjoyed by the saints this side the veil. And what faith-strengthening, spiritual, nourishing food has been provided for us by the bridegroom. And what rejoicing that there has been even here today, by those who partake of the feast of present truth. And it is a wonderful feast, and we just can't get too much of it. And as we partake of it, we realize that there is to be another feast, this marriage supper of the Lamb, which follows the marriage. The bride doesn't need to be invited, because she's the bride. She's already there. But in Psalms, the 45th chapter, we read of those who share in the joys of this occasion. Those who, the psalmist tells us in 45:13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework, and the virgins, her companions, that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. This beatitude is expressive of the blessings that will come to those who are of the great company class, those who are virgins that will follow her. And to realize that the Heavenly Father has blessings for others other than ourselves, those who have made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, those who have come out of the great tribulation, and it's as the As the Revelator tells us in Revelation 7:15, on this account, they are in the presence of the throne of God and will serve him day and night in his temple. Yes, these two will share in the work of blessing all the families of the earth in the kingdom and serving God to his glory. And the next special blessing that's revealed to us at this time of the end is the one that's found in Revelation 20:6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Here is a blessing that's presented to us. It's a glory that's far beyond our comprehension, something that we just can't imagine, the blessing that will be for those who have entered in to that which is beyond the veil. It's a blessing that has meant much to the Lord's people at this time of the end. But it wasn't until this time of the end that the Lord's people really realized or knew the understanding of the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. Previously, they thought, well, they were to live and reign with him, strumming a harp on a cloud. But now we know that these blessings of the first resurrection, they are to be kings and priests unto God, to reign over and bless all the families of the earth for whom Christ died. Truly, this is a blessing that has filled the hearts and minds of the Lord's people and has encouraged them to be holy. It's encouraged them to set themselves apart for a special purpose in order that they may live and reign with Christ in the first or the chief resurrection, on which the second death hath no power. This is the blessing that only the bride will have. It's a blessing that only they will have when they receive the new name. That new name wherein no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. The great company won't know that name. No, the angels won't know that name. But only he that receives it. The new name. It's the name of the Father. It's the family name. It's one which we shall receive if we have a part in that chief resurrection. And I like to think the name is perhaps the name of Jehovah, the self-existing one. Because isn't that the promise that is given to all those who are found faithful unto death? Glory, honor, and immortality. Self-existing. Life within yourself. Something that we just can't comprehend. But it is a blessing to know that we should run with patience this race that is set before us so that we will attain to that glory that has been given as a promise to those who are faithful. And the sixth blessing we find is in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, in the 7th verse. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth, who observeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. This is the third time that we're told that these sayings are true. And this causes us to think back to the very first of the lesson that we had, where we're told in the first chapter, in the third verse, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth, or that keepeth, observeth the words of this book. Yes, we think back on the importance of guiding our lives as it relates to our life in Christ. John was entranced with this vision as he saw that what the angel said. Then he saith unto me, See thou doest not, for I am thy fellow servant, and with thy brethren, and with the prophets, and with them that keep the sayings of the book. John tells us the effect that this has upon all men, and that he will dispense rewards and blessings according to their works. And he contrasts this with the words of the command of Daniel to seal up the words. But the time is at hand. And while the Lord wants us to uncover the message and tell it out for the benefit of all those consecrated to doing the will of God, we're not to expect any great changes. The truth appeals to those who are holy and seeking to learn the truth of God's plan, and search we may for many years, still some new rich gem appears. And the final blessing is in the 22nd chapter and the 14th verse. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. This seems to apply primarily to those who will be blessed in the kingdom. The restitution class, all the families of the earth, those who are inhabitants of the city. The bride will be part of the city. Yes? And it will be God's haven of security and salvation for the redeemed world of mankind during the 1,000 years of his kingdom. And the prominent theme of this blessing, this last chapter of the book, is life. Yes? All that is contrary to God, all that develops as a consequence of sin entering in to the world, ends in the second death. No more death. And the contrast is quite impressive as we read this book. Life is presented in a threefold way. We read of the book of life. We read of the water of life. We read of the tree of life. And each of these are mentioned twice in this chapter. And the book contains the name of all the redeemed. Yes, the redeemed are named there. And the water is the river of truth that flows out from the throne of God. And the tree bears 12 manner of fruits and yields her fruit every month. And those whose names are written in the book have access to the water. And they have access to the tree of life. Moreover, it says that these leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The words, and there shall be no more curse, takes us back to the Garden of Eden. There, where man ate of the forbidden tree, that will never be again. For he says that the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And once again it's stated in this fifth verse, and there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Yes, what a wonderful text of Scripture. A similar statements of the preceding chapter seem to be referring to the glories of the city, whereas here they appear to be part of the description of the blessedness of its inhabitants, for they will stand evermore in the light of his countenance. And to know that this blessing is coming to the world is also a source of joy to us, to the Lord's people, even now. And this has helped to to give us a wonderful luster to the knowledge of the divine plan. And so it is that if these truths have been received into good and honest hearts, we will rejoice as much in the blessings to come for the world as we do for the provisions that God has made for those who are running for this prize of the high calling. We should never become so engrossed with our own selves, own spiritual rejoicing, that we lose sight of for whom Christ died. Yes, God Himself so loved the world that He gave His Son. It's God's plan. It's God's gift. And these are God's words to us. Truly blessed are we who are living in these last days, and may the richness of the blessings that we read, if we continue to hold fast these things, remain with us. And may each one of us prove faithful unto the end, for the time is at hand. May the Lord add His blessing.